This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and this is episode F48. Happy December. If I didn't say that before, you are currently, this is airing after December 1st. A few days ago, my wife ran the Chicago Marathon, and she was not able to finish her training because of some injuries, but she still did it. She pushed through. She finished the race, which is an incredible accomplishment, and she did it in a better time than she expected. And of course, I was down there to cheer her on at 4 locations, I think, and my sister came down to 2 of those locations with me, and she made a couple of signs. One of the signs said, "Run like you're a final girl," which is very appropriate for my wife because she is a horror fan. And then the other one was, "Hit this for a power-up," and it was the red Mario mushroom. And a whole bunch of people smacked that sign, which was so fun to see. And people put their names, and we were screaming people's names, and we had a blast. And if there's a marathon in your town, I think you should go cheer people on because it is super fun for them and it is super fun for you, especially if you go all out with signs and things and people were giving out drinks and massages and whatever, and it was just a whole lot of fun. So congratulations to all of the Chicago Marathon winners, which at this point was like almost 2 months ago. But hey, it's never too late to congratulate people on a huge accomplishment. All right, the first word in this episode is the second form of the word feather. It's been a while since I recorded the last one, and that's good. That's a good thing. So, feather is a verb from the 13th century. We are starting with transitive. There is a bunch of these definitions. So, 1A is to furnish with a feather, and the thing that you are furnishing is an arrow. And yes, I do believe there was something about feather in the previous episode. And so you're putting the arrow, no, scratch that. You're putting the feather on the arrow, and then you go, pew, and you shoot the arrow at a non-living thing. Yeah. Number 1B, to cover, clothe, or adorn with, or as if with feathers. It doesn't have to literally be feathers for you to say that you are feathering yourself, you're covering something, clothing, adorning with feathers or something like feathers. And I don't know, I don't think I have anything here that is like a feather. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could say, I'm taking this pen and I'm putting this pen in my hair and I have now feathered my hair with something kind of like a feather. It's not at all like a feather, but I am going to say that my hair is now feathered. Although there is an actual thing that you can do to your hair to feather it, I think I've heard. Okay, 2A, to turn an oar blade almost horizontal when lifting from the water at the end of a stroke to reduce air resistance. Okay, I do believe that there was something about oars in the previous episode. So you are going to take your oar blade and you're rowing and you're rowing and your roan. And when you turn it, when you're lifting it out of the water behind you, at the end of a stroke, you turn it almost horizontal. Maybe it's like this. Maybe I don't know how you hold it. I think it's maybe you got to hold it like this. Yeah, you got to hold it that top like this and then this one. And you lift it out and then you turn it horizontal so the blade is like this. And then you swing it around so you can do another stroke. And the reason you do that is to lower air resistance. So you can, if you're in one of those rowing teams, you got to do that so you can swing it around as fast as possible. Otherwise, it's this big flat surface that's hitting the air, and it's going to be slower. And when you're in a race, you want to be fast. Okay, that was great. You got to feather the oar. 2B1. To change the angle of so that the cords become approximately parallel to the line of flight. And we are talking about airplane propeller blades. Why was that hard to say? Airplane propeller blades. Airplane propeller blades. So that the cords, I don't know what the cords are of an airplane propeller blade, parallel to the line of flight. Also, though, to change the angle of airplane propeller blades of an engine in such a manner. You can rotate the blades? Is that what it's saying? I don't know. You feather the blades.
Roger, roger. You've got to feather the blades so we can do something with this plane.
2B2. To change the angle of, and the example of what we're doing this to is a rotor blade of a rotor craft. So to change the angle of one of those things periodically in forward flight. A rotor craft, it's just, is this anything that has a rotor? A helicopter? Maybe another type of plane? You're changing the angle of it while you're going in forward flight. Maybe a helicopter. I'm trying to think of what else has a rotor in flight. Number 3, to reduce the edge of to a feather edge. To reduce the edge of a thing to a feather edge, and are we going to see feather edge? Yes, we're going to see feather edge later in this episode, so you just have to wait. Well, I don't know what to say about that because I don't know what we're talking about. Number 4, to cut as air with or as if with a wing. To cut air with a wing or to cut air with something as if with a wing. To cut air as it, so I guess when I go just with my hand like that, I can't do too big of a movement because I got a microphone here and I got a camera there and I got is that feathering the air? Yes, it is. That's what I say. To join by number 5, I should say that. To join by a tongue and groove. This I think is woodworking. You've got a space on one piece. Let's do the space like that. And then you got a thing that fits in the space and you put them together. And I guess that's feathering the wood, feathering, you're putting the things together. Number 6, to hit, throw, pass, or shoot softly and usually with precision, as in feathered a perfect lob over the net. This lob over the net could be volleyball, tennis, badminton, pickleball, so many things. You're very precise with the way that you hit the thing that goes over the net. And you're lobbing it. It was a perfect lob over the net. So you hit it, you throw it. I don't know what you're throwing over a net, something, I guess, passing it or shooting it. And it's very soft, but it's very precise. And it goes exactly where you want it to go. You do, he feathered that ball over the volleyball net so precisely. It was wonderful, and the crowd went bananas. I have a banana with me, but it's not here. Otherwise, I would have held up my banana. Okay, now we got intransitive number 1, to grow or form feathers. Wow. So the animal feathered because it grew feathers. The dinosaurs feathered their hair when they grew feathers, I guess. See, I don't know all the details. They say that birds are dinosaurs. But were there, like, some dinosaurs that literally did evolve into birds? Or are these, I don't know. I think that might be the case. I think there were the little dinosaurs, maybe the little ones, they stuck around after all the big dinosaurs died, and then they gradually evolved. I don't know why it took us so long to figure that out. Number two, to have or take on the appearance of a feather or something feathered. To have the appearance of a feather, to take on the appearance of a feather. If you are going as a feather for Halloween, your costume is a feather, then you will have been feathered. You feathered yourself, I guess. Okay. Number three, to soak in and spread. The synonym is blur. This is used of ink or a printed impression. So I guess if you're taking ink and you got a rubber stamp and you put the stamp on the ink and then you put it on the paper where you want the ink to go, if you soak it on the paper, you spread it around, you're blurring it, that would be called, I guess, feathering the ink. Is that a phrase that people say who work with ink? You could do this for very artistic and creative ways in art, I think. Yes, anything that's sort of printed, and you smear it, spread it, soak it so it gets all mushy and spread out, you're feathering the ink. Okay, great. Number four, to feather an oar or an airplane propeller blade. The second oar was O-R, because you're doing it to one or the other. So to feather an oar, we talked about the rowing before, or you are feathering an airplane propeller blade, and in both contexts, it's feathering. There is a phrase, feather one's nest, and this is to provide for oneself, especially financially, by unethically exploiting a position of trust. Huh? So you're providing for yourself financially. Maybe you're living on your loan, but you're doing it by unethically exploiting a position of trust. So you are in a position of trust. People trust you, and you exploit that. You are doing a bad thing by exploiting that, taking advantage of people, taking their money because they trust you, and so you are feathering your own nest. And basically, I think this is the idea of you're making your nest, your life, your home better than what you probably need. You are taking feathers from other birds, metaphorically speaking, and you are putting them in your own nest. They need those feathers. You are stealing the feathers from the other birds. Why don't you give those feathers back? Okay, now I know this phrase. And now I know that it is a bad thing. Okay, let's make a sound effect. It's going to be poop. The next word is the first form of feather bed. One word, adjective from 1938. Calling for, sanctioning, or resulting from feather bedding. As in, a feather bed rule. Also as in, a feather bed job. So this is just, so you're calling for feather bedding, you're sanctioning feather bedding, which is like, you're like, it's good, yes, I agree with the feather bedding in this context, or something that comes from feather bedding is the feather bed adjective. The feather bed rule, the feather bed job, what is feather bed? Let's find out by going. The second form of feather bed is a verb from 1949, starting with intransitive 1A. To require that more workers be hired than are needed. We don't need so many workers, but we need to hire more workers because of this. Because we're feather bedding. That's what we're doing. We're adding feathers to our bed to make it more comfortable. This is interesting. Let's read on. Why don't we read on and find out more about feather bed? The act of feather bedding. 1B, to limit production under a feather bed rule. So what is a feather bed rule? A feather bed rule is maybe calling for more workers. There's a rule that says you got to have more workers than you need. which means you're going to be paying more money, but maybe you got money that you could, maybe you got the money to spend. I don't know. I don't do business, so I don't know much about this. This is interesting. Number two, to do featherbed work or put in time under a featherbed rule. This is so interesting. We may have to look up a little bit more about this, or at least put in a link in the show notes. Put a link in the show notes when we're done. Okay, transitive for featherbed. Number one, to bring under a featherbed rule. It has not told me what a featherbed rule is, and I don't see that here in the dictionary. Number two, to assist as an industry by government aid. To assist your, so this industry is getting assistance by the government helping them, giving them money. So that's featherbedding, I guess, in certain industries when the government is giving them some aid. Oh, lots and lots of opinions about what the government should and shouldn't do. That gets very complicated politically. Okay, well, let's just do a quick little look so we can get a real definition about featherbed rule. I want to put this window over here in front of my face. Oh, hello, sounds. We can turn you off. Featherbed rule. Let's see. The AI tells me that a featherbed rule is a labor practice that requires employers to hire more workers than are necessary. That's what it said. Or to maintain unnecessary job positions. You don't need those jobs anymore, but we're going to keep them on to pay people. The term is often used by management to describe rules and behaviors that workers seek. So workers are seeking, well, yeah, if I were a worker, I would want to go to a place that had a featherbed rule. So they're going to hire more people so more people get paid, I guess. There's more information. Featherbedding can include hiring workers who are overqualified, adding time-consuming policies and procedures, adapting practices that slow down production, and retaining employees who are no longer needed. So it's a... It's a very two-sided thing. It's benefiting the workers, but it's not helping the business because they're spending a lot more money. It's very interesting. I'm sure that people have a lot of opinions about this. Featherbedding is often used by unions to protect jobs and ensure employment for union members, even if the work is inefficient or redundant. It originated as a way for unions to keep people employed in the face of technological advancements. And oh boy, we've been seeing a lot about that recently with machines and AI. And I mean, people have been talking about the machines taking over our jobs for a long time. And I'm sure to a certain extent, it's kind of happening. It might be slower than people thought, but I'm sure it is happening. So, okay, this is interesting. A phrase I was not aware of. Featherbed, again, this one is two words because it is a noun from before the 12th century.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Number one, a feather mattress. A mattress made of fluffy, fluffy feathers from a bird that wishes it still had them. Number two, a bed having a feather mattress. So the mattress is the feather bed, and then the bed, the frame, and all the stuff has the mattress on top of it, and that's also a feather bed. I don't think you need to call the bed a feather bed. I mean, you just say, that was my watch hitting the desk. You can just say, oh, I got a feather bed, and you're just talking about your whole bed situation. You're not literally talking about your mattress. You are, but you're not. You're just talking about your bed. Yeah, I will not be getting a feather bed because I think that the birds would rather have their feathers than me to sleep on the feathers.
Burp.
Next is feather bedding. One word, noun from 1921. So way back before the 12th century, this is when they were making the mattresses with the feathers, because they were like, we want something comfy to sleep on. And you know who has something comfy that they sleep on all around them every day? It's birds. Birds with the feathers. And so they were like, we're going to steal those feathers and we're going to sleep on them because we would like to be also comfy. We can't sleep on hay anymore. We want to sleep on feathers. So the feather bedding came hundreds and hundreds of years later. 1921. This is the requiring of an employer, usually under a union rule or safety statute, to hire more employees than are needed or to limit production. We're going to give you more people to do the work because more people need jobs, or you have to make your workers that you currently have do less work so it's easier on them. And because otherwise you're making them work 80 hours a week and that's too much, so we got to cut it down. People are humans and humans are people, and they need respect and to not be overworked and to be paid fairly for their work. Okay, so that is not literally the feathers that go in the bed. This is the idea back to what we were talking about, the feather bed rule and all that stuff, feather bedding. Okay. Feather brain. That's next. One word. Noun from 1668. It is a foolish, scatterbrained person. And feather brained is an adjective. I sometimes feel like a feather brain because maybe I have a little bit of the ADD or ADHD, depending on whichever term we're using right now. I feel like it's usually ADHD, but I don't know why we don't use ADD anymore. But maybe there's a better term in general. You know, thinking about a lot of things. Got my hands in a lot of pots and pans. Doing a lot of projects and stuff. I'm all over the place. I'm a scatterbrained, foolish person. Burp! Feather edge. Oh, where did we see feather edge? We saw feather edge right here in the number 3 definition of feather, which was to reduce the edge of to a feather edge. So what's a feather edge? It is a noun from 1616. A very thin, sharp edge, especially one that is easily broken or bent over. And feather edge is also a transitive verb. So it's just anything that has this tiniest little thin, sharp edge. And you can easily break it or bend it. And when you convert something to that, maybe you're slicing it down, you're doing something to create this very skinny, sharp edge, maybe a knife. Would you consider a knife having a feather edge? That's the action of feathering, when you make it a feather edge. Woodworking, I guess, is the first thing I can think of, but I don't know what else. What else has a feather edge? Stuff. Feather head. So we had feather brain before. It's like your brain is filled with feathers. It's so fluffy in there. I would like to sleep on it. But here we have feather head, noun from 1788. A foolish person. The synonym is feather brain. Oh yes, I was like, these seem very closely connected. I don't usually hear feather head. I guess I don't usually hear feather brain, for that matter, but I hear feather brain more than feather head. Feather head. Feather headed is an adjective. So the feather head is not scatterbrained, but they are oh so foolish. And the feather brain is oh so foolish and also very scatterbrained, because the brain is filled with feathers. Burp! Next we have feathering. Now, this is not the action of feathering. This is the noun Feathering from 1721. Number one, a covering of feathers. And the synonym is plumage. I always think of the dead parrot sketch when I hear the word plumage, or I choose to say plumage. So just the bird, just the all the feathers on a bird from their head to their toes. That's all their feathering. Of course, the peacock has some fantastic feathering, but there are some other birds out there that also have fantastic feathering. There was those birds I saw on the nature show. I can't remember what kind of birds they are, but there's a lot of different kinds of them, and they do the craziest things with their feathering, and they do the dances and stuff, and I don't even know. I have to look it up later. I can't remember what they are, but they are fantastic. They got fantastic feathering. Number two is a fringe of hair, as on the legs of a dog. That is the end of that sentence, and it says to see the dog illustration. So, you know, sometimes you look at a dog's leg, the back part of it, closer to the tail, has just some extra hair. Maybe it's a long-haired dog, and so the back of the leg has just some extra fur that just sort of flows off their leg, and you call that feathering, because it kind of looks like feathers. Burp! Feather light, one word, adjective from circa 1837. This is extremely light. Extremely light is feather light. It is so light, it's as if it were a feather, because feathers are so light. I believe, now I don't know if, oh yes, we are going to see that a little bit later. You could maybe also, well, I guess we'll just hold on to that. Just, it's so light, it's feather light. This chapstick is feather light, because it's so light. I gotta fix this camera. I gotta get a new camera. If you have a recommendation for a simple, relatively cheap, but good quality camera that I can connect to a computer, please recommend it to me. Burp! Next is feather star, two words, noun from 1862. Any of an order of free-swimming, stalkless crinoids. And the order name is Comatulida. Comatulida. So they are crinoids, and I think it's not crinoids, but it could be. Let's see what that, I guess I could also, well, crinoids, oh yes, these are, they look like pom-poms. They have a little body in the middle, and then they have these feathery arms that go off. This one probably has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Like, 24-ish of these feathery arms. This one's black. And, yeah, we got to post a link to the crinoids into the show notes. And we're specifically talking about feather star. I mean, yeah, so they're sort of like a starfish, but they're not at all. I mean, yeah, it just takes us to crinoids. Feather stars are members of the largest... Very cool looking animals. Ooh, so many different kinds too. Wow, these are crazy. All right, feather stars and crinoids. Burp. Feather stitch, one word. Noun from 1835. An embroidery stitch consisting of a line of diagonal blanket stitches worked alternately to the left and right. Mm-hmm. Feather stitch is also a verb. I don't know. Let's post a picture. Well, first of all, we got to post a picture of a feather star onto the social media. And then we also got to post a picture of this feather stitch embroidery. You're going at diagonal lines, and I don't know embroidery, so I don't know, but it sounds like it looks pretty cool. Feather weight, one word. Weight is like the mass, how much do you weigh? That's how it's spelled. This is a noun from 1812. Number one, one that is very light in weight, but especially a boxer in a weight division having a maximum limit of 126 pounds for professionals and 125 pounds for amateurs. And it says compare to bantamweight and lightweight. And I believe I vaguely remember reading about bantamweight. Let's just look up list of weight classes in boxing. And so bantamweight and lightweight are two other, I guess, very lightweight classes in boxing. Maybe they do this in wrestling too, but I guess it's more for boxing. So here, let's look at this list. Where is, they get their weights have to be so specific, and it takes a whole lot of effort to stay at that weight. So here is the full list from the heaviest to the lightest. I guess these are for professionals, right? Well, these are just the names. Heavyweight, light heavyweight, middleweight, welterweight, lightweight, featherweight, bantamweight, and flyweight. So, I wanted to also give you the conversion to kilograms for featherweight, because that's the one we're talking about. So featherweight is 122 pounds to 126 pounds, which equates to 55.3 kilograms to 57.2 kilograms. Clearly, this class seems like it was made up probably in America where we use pounds. Otherwise, it would probably have been more specific numbers, 55 kilograms or 55.5, something more on a zero or a five. Let's see, 100 and... So yes, so here, 118 pounds, which is 53.5 kilograms, in 1860 by London Prize Ring Rules. Oh, these are, I don't know what this is. I'm not going to read that. Let's skip that part. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight classes, and featherweight is near the bottom of the list. You know, a lot of people don't know this stuff, and so you might want to know. I wanted to know, so I looked it up. Number two for featherweight is the number two definition for lightweight. I would not be in the featherweight category. I would be at least a couple classes above that, probably more than a couple. Featherweight is also an adjective. All right, we got one more word for this episode. Burp. Burp, 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 burp. Feathery. It's the word feather with a Y. Adjective from 1580, resembling, suggesting, or covered with feathers, especially extremely light. Now, those two parts don't have anything to do with each other. The first one has to do with being like feathers. Well, I guess they're kind of. And then the second part is about being light, which is also like feathers. The first part is resembling feathers, suggesting feathers, covered in feathers. But especially, usually when you say feathery, you just mean it's very light. Like my chapstick over there, which I never use, is feathery. Because it's covered with feathers. I want to put that on my lips. All right, I think it is now time to pick a word of the episode. Word of the episode, word of the episode. He's picking one. What is he gonna pick? He's gonna read them first. Today we had feather, feather bed, feather bed, feather bed, feather bedding, feather brain, feather edge, feather head, featherine, feather light, feather star, feather stitch, feather weight, and feathery. And there are no more feather words. Nope, not even in the next episode. So the word that is going to be the word of the episode today is feather brain, because I feel like a feather brain all the time. I'm a foolish and scatterbrained person. I'm a feather brain. Yeah, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for listening to me tell you about some words. I sure do wish that you would share this podcast, audio podcast or YouTube podcast, with everybody that you know. Let people know that there's a show that they want to know about. Okay, today I'm going to now also tell you about a couple movies that I watched. We watched The Watchers. We were the watchers of The Watchers. This is, I think it is written and directed, or at least directed by M. Night Shyamalan's daughter. And, it's a very interesting concept. And actually, it is connected to, well, something before. So that's unrelated to what I've got going on right now. But, just creepy, moody, weird, you know, people in the woods. It's a fun watch. Then I watched, I think I mentioned this, but not officially. I watched the premiere. And this, it was not the premiere of the premiere, but it was close to the premiere. It was a movie, an indie movie made in Chicago about somebody's movie premiere. And it was shot in the Music Box in Chicago, which is a fantastic theater. And I watched it in the Music Box. They have two theaters. They filmed it in the lobby and the big theater. And I watched it in the little theater, but it was still very cool and weird to watch a movie that was shot in the building that I was currently in about a movie. It was also just very silly and fun. And so props to everybody who made that. And I know the cinematographer, which was another reason why I wanted to see it. All right. I think that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Check out the show notes for other stuff. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.